Deuteronomy chapter 31. We read from verse 1 to 13. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them, and Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, Thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God. As long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. And now to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. May God bless to us that reading from his holy word. I just remind you of the nature of the chapter which we are now studying. The patriarch Jacob is under divine inspiration, speaking prophetically. He's sitting upon his bed with his 12 sons and the two grandsons, Manasseh and Ephraim, with him. These two children of Joseph have already been adopted by Jacob, adopted as his own, and in consequence blessed accordingly. He is now addressing the others one by one, and in his remarks he is both retrospective and prospective. There is a considerable degree of transmitted character in all that we see in this chapter. And by that I mean what the sons of Jacob had proved to be in themselves would have a substantial bearing upon what their respective tribes would enjoy or suffer. Last week we dealt with Reuben. And there on his deathbed, Israel, disregarding sentiment or any personal inhibition, spoke rather of the weakness as well as the wickedness of his eldest son. Because of this weakness in your character, says the patriarch, thou shalt not excel. Although in your genealogy, you obviously will be counted as the firstborn, yet as pertaining to the rights and the privileges which normally go to the eldest, these cannot be transferred to you, for you are as unstable as water. We briefly traced the history of the tribe of Reuben, that tribe which succeeded him, and upon every count, we saw the prophecy of Israel to be correct. Reuben never excelled or counted for much. We move on now from the firstborn to the next, and Jacob now couples his second and third sons together in verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Well, yes. They were both the sons of Leah. But then so was Reuben. So was Judah. So was Issachar and Zebulun. Why does the Holy Spirit cause these two to be linked together in this manner? Specifically stating, these two are brethren. Now there is more implied here, friends, than just the fact that they were full brethren after the flesh. Their natures were identical. They were fellows of the same mind and disposition. Now, having heard the plain speech used in reference to Reuben, which we considered last week, no doubt all these sons were very apprehensive as to what they were going to hear next. Especially these two. Nor were they wrong. Simeon, Levi, you're of the same makeup. You both have that unrestrained, violent, aggressive temperament. Instruments of cruelty are in your habitations. You harbor in your minds bitterness and wrath, which breaks out into fearful violence. Now in this, we are to see retrospection. Jacob is harking back to the atrocities of Shechem. You will remember the moral trouble into which Dinah fell at Shechem, the sister of these fellows. Going back some 18 months, I would think, in our study, we recall that trouble. Moral trouble into which Jacob's daughter fell. She had no business flirting with the Shechemites for a start. But she did. And that was the prime cause of the trouble. However, Simeon and Levi conceived a plot of revenge to wreak vengeance upon the Shechemites for their abuse of their sister. And when Hamor sought to secure Dinah, Hamor of Shechem, when he sought to secure Dinah for his son's wife, these two fellows, Simeon and Levi, said no. No. She cannot marry into an uncircumcised people. But let all your males be circumcised. All your males. Then we can all intermarry. You give us your daughters, and you shall have ours. And verse 18 of Genesis 34 states, and their words, the words of Simeon and Levi, pleased Hamor well. So without delay, every male in Shechem was circumcised. Then what happened? Let me remind you. Verse 25 of Genesis 34. They'd all been circumcised. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. And they took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field and all their wealth and all their little ones with their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. Yes, this refreshes our minds with the story, does it not? And my, Jacob was in some state over this when he knew. He says to Simeon and to Levi in verse 30 of that chapter, ye have troubled me. Ye have made me to stink in the land. But no, Simeon and Levi wouldn't have it. This is the way to deal with people who make our sister a harlot, they said in verse 31. No good being soft. This is the way to deal with them. I say better fit they had dealt with Dinah, their sister, when she had dressed herself up and kept going down socializing with the Shechemites. That's where the trouble started. This then is that which Jacob is referring to in this scripture which is before us now, in chapter 49. He's harking back to this incident. And whilst at the time Jacob had strongly condemned their deed, he obviously had never forgotten it. It lived with him all his days. Such barbaric conduct and cruelty, which was carried out by his own flesh and blood, it haunted him. And now on his deathbed, he looks back, and he looks back upon it with unabated, yea, almost with enhanced horror. And as I pointed out, these three verses pertaining to Simeon and Levi in chapter 49, I could come to no other conclusion than that these traits of barbarism and cruelty were still in them. It was still there. That native, perverse, aggressive spirit was yet unbroken. For as the aged old man looks upon these two fellows, he says in verse 6, the next verse, verse 6, he says, as if speaking to himself, O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. My soul must never enter into their counsels. I can never have it said that I was a party to their deliberations. I disassociate myself entirely from your actions, Simeon and Levi. You may be my sons. Indeed, you are my sons. But as for our thinking, we are not united. Indeed, we are poles apart. We should note that there is no nepotism here. No sparing of feelings, because it was his own flesh and blood. Cannot this be a great weakness on times? Have we not seen it? Indeed, it's present in a more or less degree in all of us. We are not slow to spot the weaknesses in others and to criticize and perhaps reprove. But when it comes to our own families, we are quick to make excuses. We can find some mitigating circumstances. This is not good enough, brethren and sisters. It's not good enough, and neither is it God-honoring. Oh, I admire the courage and the strength of faith in this man, as even on his deathbed, principles come first. Principles come first, even before flesh and blood. And remember, I speak to my own heart, remember, brethren and sisters, it's written for our learning. Now to the latter part of verse 6. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. In their anger. Simeon and Levi made excuses for their actions, as we saw earlier. They claimed to be acting justly towards the men of Shechem for making their sister a harlot. They prided themselves upon that which they had done. It was born out of righteous indignation, was their claim. Now, true it is, there is such a thing as righteous indignation. There is such a thing as holy anger. The scriptures speak of it. But such does not produce murder. Righteous indignation and holy anger does not produce murder. Indeed, their violence was so intense that we are told in Genesis 34 and 25, they slew all the males. All the males. Now, anger which causes a person to slay a man cannot be termed righteous. Further to this, in your self-will ye dig down a wall. Now, the thought is that they were so driven on in their unrestrained fury that they did not even spare buildings. The thought is they ran berserk. I accept no excuse for your conduct, says Jacob. That is how I viewed you at the time, and my attitude has not changed one whit. Verse 7, cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. Cursed be their anger. The patriarch in his last hours, his closing moments upon life, upon earth, he pronounces a curse upon such conduct. It was not holy anger, says he. It was fierce. You were but displaying wrath. It was a violent outburst, premeditated in secret, upon which you set no bounds. It was cruel. What devastating words. the last words which the Father ever spoke to these two fellows. The ties of kindred were dismissed entirely. We see this aged Holy Father, at the promptings of his God, thundering against his own sons. It does not all this savor of a curse rather than a blessing? Does it not savor of a curse rather than a blessing? Yes and no. What we have seen so far is the retrospective part of Jacob's speech. We come now to the prospective, the latter part of verse 7. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Despite all that had been said, and it was devastating in the extreme, despite all that had been said, and the sore displeasure which Jacob had in these two sons, yet he does not disinherit them. Neither does he completely cast them out. They are still to be reckoned amongst his sons. And the tribes which would spring from them are to be numbered among the people. But they are to be marked out. They are to be marked out inasmuch as they will be divided in Jacob and they will be scattered in Israel. In this chapter which is before us, Genesis 49, the other 10 sons are each dealt with individually. But as we saw at the commencement of this sermon, Simeon and Levi are linked together and addressed as one. They were of identical makeups. In consequence, they collaborated. They worked together. You're to be dispersed, says Jacob. Your native bent for hatching up evil together is to be checked. As two brothers, my sons, you're to be divided. And in Israel, that is in the nation of Israel, you'll be scattered. The rest of the sons would have relatively quiet and lasting settlements. But not these two. Not these two. So let us look more closely now into this prophetic statement of Jacob's and see how it worked out. We saw last week how it worked out with Reuben. Now let's see how it worked out with these two. Simeon first. True it was, as a tribe, they increased fairly rapidly in their early days. Shortly after the Exodus out of Egypt, when Moses took a census of the people, as recorded in the book of Numbers chapter 1, we are informed in verse 23 of that chapter that those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Simeon, were 59,300. 59,300 head of the tribe of Simeon just after the Exodus from Egypt. But then some 45 to 50 years later, after the wilderness wanderings, when a further census was taken, Simeon's numbers were drastically reduced. That race had shrunk tremendously. Numbers 26 and verse 14 says, these are the families of the Simeonites, 22,200. reduced by well over a half in 45 to 50 years. Half of them extinct. More than half, well over half. And Moses, just before his death, is seen to bless the various tribes in chapter 33 of the book of Deuteronomy. Just before his death, Moses has all the tribes before him, and he blesses them. But it is very significant to note that in his blessing, the tribe of Simeon doesn't even receive a mention. They don't receive a mention. They had already become so insignificant that they weren't mentioned. True, they did receive recognition, and they did receive a portion of the promised land under Joshua. Now again, I apologize for not having a larger map, but you know the shape of Palestine, and knowing the geography, you can see. But here's Simeon, right down in the very south of Judah. Just there, Simeon. So they did receive recognition, and they did receive a portion of the land right down in the extreme south. That was under Joshua. But in the main, it was shared territory with Judah. It's not definitely defined. It's shared territory with Judah. And this is borne out by what we read in the book of Joshua later in that book, chapter 19 and verse 1. And the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families, and their inheritance, this is the key words, and their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. Their inheritance was within the children of Judah. And again, moving on a few more years into the first chapter of the book of Judges, in chapter 3, and Judah said unto Simeon his brother, come up with me unto my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with them. In the main, the tribe of Simeon became extinct, being absorbed by the other tribes, and more particularly Judah, which, when we come to this map, which is later, some could be 60, 70 years after the incidents I've been mentioning to you, later on in the book of Judges, Simeon doesn't even get a mention. It's swallowed up in Judah. A few did retain their identity. I must mention this. There were a handful of Simeonites which did retain their identity, but they certainly were not down in this territory at that time. We read of them in the first book of Chronicles, chapter 4, verses 24 to 43. The major part of that chapter, it's a long chapter, is devoted to it. But these that remained and retained their identity sought out for themselves areas which were outside of Canaan altogether. Outside of Canaan altogether. And there they dwelt. Scattered, in perfect accord with Jacob's words. In this, I believe, we are to see the severity of the Lord. Having dealt with the attributes of God, we know that they shine out in splendor in varying ways. To some in love and grace, to others in severity and wrath. And here in the tribe of Simeon, I believe we see the severity of the Lord. What then of Levi? What of him? Well, the prophecy was still fulfilled. The sentence was executed even more literally than was the case with Simeon. Yet it was different, totally different, for it was turned from a curse to a blessing. It was overruled. Their scattering was overruled for the highest good. Now, true, they never had an inheritance in the land. They never had one at all. Levi never appears on the maps of the Middle East. You go through the dividing of the land and you won't find that Levi was ever allotted any territory at all. That's why they don't appear on the maps. No. But listen to verse 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 9. Wherefore, Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance. Divided in Jacob. God parted these two brothers, sons of the patriarch, and he scattered them in Israel. Simeon became absorbed amongst the others and ultimately lost. But in the scattering of Levi amongst Israel, God had another purpose. It was not severity. Rather was it blessing. We see the grace of God shining here. Deuteronomy 10, verse 8. At that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless in his name unto this day. Although the Levites were never allotted territory, yet were they given cities throughout the whole of the land, amongst all the tribes. Amongst all the tribes, you'd find the cities of the Levites. Joshua chapter 21 and verse 3. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities and their suburbs. And the details are all set out in that long chapter of Joshua 21. All the cities that were given to the Levites. And verse 41 states in that chapter of Joshua 21, all the cities of the Levites within the possession of the children of Israel were 48 cities with their suburbs. Scattered throughout Israel, occupying 48 cities with their suburbs, scattered in Israel. But why? To what purpose? A verse from Exodus will help explain. When Israel was wandering in the wilderness, before ever they entered the land, when they were wandering in the wilderness, and oft times at that time were they coming under God's disciplinary judgment, Levi's descendants so often appeared to throw up in a much better light than did the others. For example, in Exodus 32 and verse 26 we read, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp. This was another troubled situation. Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Sons of Levi. And God chose this people for himself, that in his governmental scattering of them, oh yes, he scattered them according to his word, but in his governmental scattering of them, he deemed that they should be to his glory in blessing to the other tribes. Such is the grace of our God. For these, the descendants of Levi, were to be teachers and instructors of his law amongst all the people. Instructors of his law amongst all the people. That's why they were scattered in Israel. We come to the book of Leviticus, chapter 10, verse 11. These scriptures will substantiate that which I've been saying. Leviticus 10 and verse 11. And that ye may teach, the Lord is addressing Levi here, that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 10. They, that is Levi, they shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifices upon thine altar. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 13. And that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. These Levites would have the law. They'd instruct the people. Children that would later be born who wouldn't know anything of all the past history, all that had happened to their ancestors. It was entrusted to the Levi to give the rising generations instruction in the things of God. Numbers chapter 18 and verse 2. Numbers chapter 18 verse 2. And thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee, and minister unto thee. But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness, and they shall keep thy charge, and the charge of all the tabernacle. Verse 6. And I, behold, I have taken your brethren the Levites from among the children of Israel. Here's the sovereign purpose of God. I, behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Here then have we seen further something of the wonder of Jacob's words, both in retrospect and in prospect. And by flashing yet further ahead into Old Testament history, which we have done, we have discovered something of the hidden depth of the patriarch's prophecy. May God graciously enable us to retain these inspired historic facts and thereby be enabled to understand his word the better. Amen. Hymn number 322. 322. Almighty God, thy word is cast like seed into the ground. Now let the dew of heaven descend and righteous fruits abound. 322.
Thy word is cast like seed into the ground. Now let the dew of heaven descend and righteous fruits abound. Let not the foe of Christ and man this holy seed remove, but give it root in every heart to bring forth fruits of love. Let not the world's deceitful cares, the rising blood, plan to destroy, but let it yield 100-fold the fruits of the peace and the joy. Oft as the precious seed is sown, thy quickening grace bestow, that all these souls the truth receive, its saving power may know.
Heavenly Father, accept of our thanks for thy goodness to us. Those things that we have seen even now in this evening service. Thy judgments are a great deep. Thy ways are past finding out. But as for God, his ways are perfect. We thank thee for the divine record given to us. We pray that these things, though they be largely historical and geographical to some degree, that they may be registered by us. For it is essential, we know, that we must grasp these things in order to be able to rightly understand that which lies ahead. These things are foundational. We thank thee that thou hast recorded, for they are recorded for our learning and for our instruction, that we might be truly furnished. So grant unto us retentive minds, that as in later days we refer to these varying people may be, that we shall understand their beginnings and that upon which their respective tribes were based. So seal thy word to our hearts. Dismiss us now. Go with us to our homes. Watch over us in the coming days. Whatever it may be, the varied needs of our families and of our respective family circles, bless accordingly, we pray. And now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.